how key MAGA figures like Steve Bannon are helping and using Donald Trump to turn January 6th into a success story of authoritarianism here in the U.S. He writes this, quote, Bannon believed the MAGA movement, if it could break out of being suppressed and marginalized by the establishment, represented a dominant coalition that could rule for 100 years. The Republicans were the ones standing in the way of Bannon's plans, quote, the first guys that we got to take down is the Republican Party, he said. We haven't done that yet. We're getting there. Trump's our instrument. We're getting there. We're back. The author, Isaac Arnsdorf. Congrats. Pub Day is tomorrow.
Thank you.
We were joking about being eclipsed by the eclipse. You won't be. You're in the clear now. It's over. Tell me about, I mean, their successes are clear. I mean, there is no Republican Party. It's Trumpism. And Joe Biden is running against Trumpism. Joe Biden's running against a MAGA movement that isn't maybe as big as it was in 16, but it is certainly more virulent. And tell me if that is a means to an end or the end?
What it has is it has an institutional home now, which is the Republican yeah. Party itself. And this is really something that changed in the aftermath of January 6th, because the story that developed in the movement, and Bannon had a huge role in this, was that the reason Trump failed, the reason that he couldn't stay in office on January 6th, was because of a few uncooperative Republicans. And there's actually a lot of truth in that, right? If you think about the Republicans who stood up to him and prevented him from overturning the election. It was Republicans. And so the idea was that the movement needed to take over the party, and they needed to do it from the ground up, from the precincts to the counties to the districts to the states. And then they could purge the party of anyone who wouldn't be there next time when everything was on the line. And that's what we have now, is the movement being channeled into this structure, into this apparatus, the party organization itself, that has made it so much more effective, actually, in that time when Trump has been out of power.
Or in the piece, do I say that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are identical, or that they're both doing the same thing? I don't really talk about them that much. I talk much more about the country.
But you understand, and I would say the conventional framing elevates an autocrat.
There's no doubt that what Donald Trump has done, particularly in tearing at democracy and tearing at norms, and I think norms, customs, democracy, freedom, vote, like those things so fundamentally matter. And there's no doubt that that is in a different category than Biden. My point is, take Trump away. You're still going to have a version of this. It's not like right now, maybe Donald Trump certainly accelerated it. But now, listen, if Donald Trump left tomorrow, he's gone. He's off the stage. What we're talking about still exists. This idea that who's going to replace Trump in the Republican Party? It's not going to be Mitt Romney. It's going to be someone like Donald Trump, because of like the activist wing, the 20%. They buy into the stuff that he talks about. But I still think what I'm trying to state is that that's a fringe view that is still on most topics. Most people, I think, are sensible. And the thought experiment that I use, and I would encourage you to use, is think about the 150, 200 people you meet in a given year that you can make an appraisal of. Your family, your friends, people you run into at work. I bet that you would say 95% of those people are basically normal. Do they volunteer? Do they give money to good causes? Do they help you shovel in a snowstorm? I bet you say that they would. And what I'm trying to do with the piece is remind people that is what keeps this country together. That is what is most people. Normalese, or whatever you used over there, Willie, is a term I think is great. I call it normal America. I think that is 70% of the country.
But it's the first time in any party's history that it hasn't sought to persuade enough people to vote for them so they win fair and square. It is a campaign, before anyone has voted, predicated on cheating. Do they acknowledge that?
Well, do they acknowledge that? No, because of the insistence.
They'd be acknowledging it's all a lie.
I mean, part of the tension in reporting the book is the people who really do believe it because of their own personal experiences, or
who
because
believes
of everything
Bannon
that's
doesn't
been
believe
told.
It. Bannon knows Trump lost.
Bannon is in this weird space of, you know, if it's a mask, I've never seen it slip, and I've seen him be more forceful.
Biden thinks that Biden got fewer votes than Trump.
I've seen him be more forceful about it sometimes than others. But there's that tension between people who are doing it opportunistically, who are playing it, who are manipulating it, versus the people who really do believe it. And you have to take both seriously. They're both different elements of the movement.
Is this the new Republican Party, though, David? They are literally leading a white nationalist movement grafted onto the Republican Party. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a cult parked inside a political party. And I don't think there's much more to add to what Rev said other than amen. I mean, in Nelson Mandela, you have someone working for the equality of all people, willing to give his own life. And Donald Trump, you have someone trying to interrupt equality for all people. And Joy, last week we were laughing at that Donald Trump was jealous of Jesus Christ. This week he's jealous of Nelson Mandela. I would say the Prophet Muhammad and Gandhi are next, except Donald Trump probably doesn't appreciate their heritage. So he may not go there. And look, I would say this. I mean, this is your example. Exactly right about the state of today's Republican Party and Trumpism. I mean, they are elevating someone who is racist, misogynist, xenophobic, and bigoted. Those are Mitt Romney's words. And in elevating him, they are sleepwalking towards a dictatorship. And those are Liz Cheney's own words. And you see in Romney and Cheney and others, people who have stepped aside from mainstream MAGA Republicanism because they see in Donald Trump exactly who you and the Rev have articulated. You know, we fall short in seeing this as merely an election. This is a transitional moment in November for the country if we elevate someone who is racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, bigoted, who wants to return to a dictatorship. That is the question for the American people in November.
It has become very toxic, and certainly Donald Trump has made it more toxic, given the words that he uses, the issues that he takes advantage of. He sees what we see in this reality distortion machine. He's been a master at it. But I've never thought that he's the cause. He's a symptom of it, maybe a big symptom of it. But a lot of this stuff exists nonetheless. But when you talk to those Trump supporters, like when you get outside of the big cities, you talk to them and you really push them on what they believe. Like, yeah, maybe they're telling a pollster they think the election was stolen. But the more you talk to them, they don't really feel that. They just think that they don't trust anything. They don't trust institutions. They don't trust the media. So it's kind of like a middle finger to pollsters, the media, and to politics in general. And by the way, if you really thought that the election was stolen, if like tens of millions of people, you would just passively say, oh, yeah, it was stolen. I'm not going to do anything about it. You'd storm the streets if you actually believed in your bones in large numbers that that was the truth. And that's the tribal nature that you're seeing in politics. And a little bit of this is because so many people have torn down all the institutions that held all of us together when we were kids, right? Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, churches, business, government, media. When everyone trusts nothing and everyone's just like left on their own, you kind of get the politics that you have today. And I think, you know, I think
this is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Tuesday, 9 April, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the War Room. Today, we're going to have Caroline Glickson join us in a while to talk about the situation in Israel, the war there in Gaza. Naomi Wolf's going to be later about the World Health Organization, also what's happening about these vaccines in the United Kingdom and our own CDC. This kicks off. We have two things happening. Number one, a huge kickoff today and tomorrow on this Ukraine situation in the House, and also FISA. MTG, I think she's going to join us this afternoon. She's in the air right now, but if you've got a chance to see the streaming that we did of her town hall, I would say that if you had to take a vote, the 14th District of Georgia in that town hall last night was ready to march on Washington, right, because of these issues. I mean, people are that worked up. We just had to do a smash cut of over the last 48 hours, because remember, President Trump, the show trial, the Moscow show trial of 1935, to put President Trump in prison starts on Monday. It looks like, I think that's going to happen. I know there's a lot of motions out there, but I think we got to plan on Monday. We are planning on Monday. We're going to have very special coverage on this trial because this thing is about bookkeeping entries is a joke, but they're going to use this to try to destroy President Trump in front of the American people. And we are not going to allow that to happen. Of course, you saw there this new book out, Finish What We Started, about the precinct strategy, the grassroots movement, the taking over the school boards, all of it, and particularly taking over the Republican Party, is out today. The author is doing the rounds, and people are in shock. They're all in shock about how President Trump inspires the MAGA movement to put their shoulder to the wheel every day. But that's the reality. That's how we've done this. That's how we've accomplished this. This is why President Trump is leading in the polls, and this is why they have to stop him. And it's all-out war now. It's all-out political war. Just look right there. Trump's a white nationalist. He's a cult leader, fringe views. This is, and we play it, and I understand some of the audience can't stand it. I got that, okay? Duly noted. I also don't care, but that's duly note that. Because you have to, in information warfare, you have to understand what the command, they have the commanding heights. You know, we're banned on every platform in the world. The show's still huge, but we're banned, and they're banned is for a reason. Remember, why were we banned? We were banned for about what they call election denialism, telling them that the 2020 election was stolen. And Jim Vanderhey, this whole article, Vanderhey, normally Mike Allen and Jim are dead spot on about the shards of glass, about mainstream media cracking. They put out a couple weeks ago. This follow-on is kind of redonkulous. If you ask everybody in this audience, 2020 election is stolen, absolutely is stolen, and we can walk you through chapter and verse of how it was stolen. All the catastrophic consequences have come from that. And don't think we're not going to hold people accountable after January 2025. Please embrace that. I think that's why Nicole Wallace's voice shakes every day. You know, she's about to cry every day now. Katie Turr's laughing it off and she's crying. Because there is going to be accountability. We're just not going to let what's happened to this republic over the last 4 years. It's not going to be no harm, no foul. No. There was tremendous harm. You've tried to destroy this republic. You've tried to destroy the American family. What you've done is unforgivable and unforgettable. And we will never forget it, and we will never forgive it. You will be held accountable. And yes, the 2020 election was stolen. You're going to try to steal this one. Do you think you're not going to try to steal? We know you're going to try to steal it. And we're not going to allow, because this time I think we're better prepared. Not to say that, hey, that Raheem and Bill McGinley, myself, went around in July, August, September of 2020 with the Transitional Integrity Project, right? And told you exactly how they were going to steal it, because Mark Elias told you how he was going to steal it. And then Molly Ball wrote it up on the cover of Time Magazine. Molly Ball wrote up on the cover of Time Magazine a couple of months later where they were all trying to take credit for how they stole it. We're never going to back down on this. We can't. If we back down on this, we don't have a republic, because we don't have a constitutional republic today. You've seen what they've done. And this is pure evil. And they hate it. Oh, my gosh, you say satanic, you say evil, you say demonic. Yeah, all of them. All of them. And it's unacceptable, and we're not going to accept it. And here's what they hate. Here's what they hate. This movement gets bigger and bigger every day. We have more minorities have joined us. African-American men, Hispanic families, Asian-Americans, right? It's not white nationalists. That's what they're trying to throw. They always go back to the race card. They always go back to the race card. They always go back to the race card. It doesn't work anymore. People laugh it off. We don't believe that. This is about so much more than that. It's about our tradition. Talk about customs and norms. Jim Vanderhey, norms and customs. Look what you guys have tried to destroy the American family. Look what you tried to do with this radical transgender ideology. You're talking to me about customs and norms? Oh, you tore down the institutions. We didn't tear down the institutions. We have no power. You tore down the institutions. You were the ones that let these institutions rot. The reason the American people hold you in contempt and don't take it from me, look at the Gallup poll. Everything's in single digits, and even the military, my beloved military, is getting there because you tore them down, and you are going to be held responsible and accountable. You're not going to shirk your accountability, MSNBC, the Radical Democratic Party. The easy money overlords on Wall Street, the sociopathic overlords in Silicon Valley, corporatists, no. You are guilty as charged and will be held accountable. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, we got so much to get through. Let me go to Dave Bratt. Dave, you just heard the, and this is the regime. This is the established order. And of course, the established order, because they're not playing with, when they talk about MAGA and War Room and Charlie Kirk, yeah. And post on, by the way, Kirk's in Nebraska today. We'll get that poster up in a while. I want everybody at that rally about winner take all, because you get that one electoral vote in Nebraska, no path. There's no path for Biden. None. Zero. Has to go to a contingent election, and we win there, as you know, from the stolen election of 2020. Dave Bratt, your thoughts and observations, particularly you were elected by grassroots. Dave Bratt was such an unknown. Yeah. He was elected by a grassroots movement that shocked, for the first time in the history of our country, actually beat a sitting majority leader in a primary. Dave Bratt, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, the MSNBC crew has it wrong once again. They want to frame the narrative against half the country, by the way, who they're calling cult figures, right? The Judeo-Christian West. They really are calling the Judeo-Christian West a cult figure. And they want to frame it all starting at January 6th, et cetera. Show me any receipts on there. The receipts I have, which we've had on the show forever, the fundamental transformation of this country culturally, where the middle class woke up, was in 2007, 2008 with the financial crisis, where they got ripped off big time. And our grandparents, if they weren't financially astute, sold off their assets and lost half their money in their retirement accounts. And that started the revolution. And now you throw in a border invasion on top of it and wars all over, right? If people aren't following this stuff, China is getting very weak right now. And they're responsible for, you know, a third of, you know, global economic growth. If that goes bye-bye for any reason, we have serious problems. Then you throw in the Iranian piece and our government just appears to be on war footing across the board. And everybody across the country now sees it, including the mayors of New York City and Chicago. And then the bailing on President Trump constantly. You know, they were all friends with President Trump back in New York. I didn't hear the moralizers and all the Sunday school teachers raving about ethics back then when he was running New York City. And so it's all a contrived story. We have the receipts here.
That's what the next week they're going to put him in prison or try to put him in prison. Yeah. Leading a populist revolt. That's predicated on the tenets, the fundamental tenets of the Judeo-Christian West, and they hate it. These atheistic neo-Marxists hate it, and that's why they hate Trump more than anything. That's why Trump must pay, because he's got to be a symbol to anybody else that's been as successful as him to get out of line. They've got to step in. This is why the billionaires are sitting there writing checks on Saturday night in Mar-a-Lago or John Paulson's house. Remember, 95% of them opposed him. They wanted DeSantis. The reason is they understand there's a penalty to be paid in the material world if you step up like President Trump had. This is why I say he's got more moral courage than all these guys. No matter how they hit him with all this crap, he's got more moral courage, because when his republic was on the line and the citizens of his republic was on the line, he stepped into the breach. If we didn't have Trump, we'd have nothing. We would literally have nothing. It was Trump. No, that's and that's why I say he's providential. I know they hate it. He's providential. Dave Brett.
Yeah, well, no, that's right. He's not the cause. 0708 is the cause. The motivating factor is not even Donald Trump. He's the man who can stand in for us. And all of these issues, right, the world, the charts I'm going to show are all being run by the billionaire class. We have no say-so except at the ballot box. That's the only place right now where the majority matters. And that's why the left is trying to disenfranchise the Judeo-Christian tradition and the nice people and the West. The motivating force is the left themselves, right? I wish there was a huge transformation going on within the church right now. But when you put Trans Appreciation Day on Easter Sunday and then deny it and Easter egg stuff and all the symbolic stuff that's real, as you say, that matters. And that really does motivate people. And they say, hey, something's way off here. And then they read the headlines of wars. And all the movies go back to the Straits of Hormuz with Top Gun and all that. It's in our heads. So when you see the Red Sea and the Straits, people are shooting missiles and it's live and kinetic. And so it's not a stretch to say we're in trouble. Right. And you know, I'll eventually get to it on some of the charts, but the way you lose a reserve currency, there's been seven reserve currencies since 1500, and the way you lose your reserve currency ultimately is through war. And it looks like our warmongers are doing everything they can
this
to
is
get
why,
us there.
This is why, by the way, I want to go back to Jim Vanderhey and Mike Allen. They said all these false information sources, hey, we have no marketing budget. We've been banned everywhere. The show's bigger and more powerful than ever. Why? People have come here because they know from the time of the first impeachment, the pandemic, the election of 2020, capital markets, gold today, 2376. Go over to Birch Gold right now. Bannon, check it out right now. 2376, never another all-time high. Everything, the mask mandates, the vaccine, all of it. Where have we been wrong? People come here for one reason. They get information. A lot of people come to the show at first, and they hate me, and they hate the people we put on here, and they hate a lot of the topics. And after a while, they go, hey, you know what? In my life, I see what these guys are saying, and I can kind of plan my life better. This is free market, baby. We got no budget. Real America's Voice is tiny. War Room is tiny. We have no big marketing budget, and we're banned on every platform in the world, including the absolutist in free speech, Elon Musk, because we're so anti-CCP, and he's owned by the CCP. Although he's fighting a pretty good fight in Brazil, we're going to get Mike Benz Hope up this afternoon. Hang on for a second. Your charts are so good at explaining exactly where we are with the ruling class, but I want to play from last night Elizabeth Warren and Joy Henry, because, folks, this is an information war. They're running on you right now to try to sell this. Let's go ahead and play it, and I'll bring Dave Brett back in.
He was slamming the fact that he said undocumented immigrants got some of the jobs that caused the low unemployment rate. Isn't it the case that when job growth improves, that means that the people who are picking the lettuce and picking the strawberries and picking the fields to make sure that people have food also get jobs? And the people who are doing the chicken plucking plant, the dangerous work where their fingers get chopped off, some of those people are undocumented. Is it a bad thing that they're doing those jobs, or in your mind, a good thing?
You know, look, I want everyone to have work permits. So if they're here and they're here on parole or however it is they're here, they need those work permits. And the reason they need it is so they don't get exploited in the work that they do. But let's be clear. Immigrants in the United States boost our economy. They make our economy work better and faster. They are out there in a country where we have a significant portion of people who have retired or who are about to retire, who are not in the workforce. Immigrants are much more likely to be in the workforce. They pay taxes and they help support Social Security. You want the economy to work, then we need to get those immigrants work permits and have them out there working.
25% of men in this country are not in the active labor force. because you flooded the zone with illegal alien labor that you can exploit and is exploited. And she's sitting there, you know, the professor, the bankruptcy professor, we got to get them work permits. They're trying to sell you that without the invasion of the 10 million illegal aliens, the economy couldn't work. This is how sick they are. This is how exploited they are, exploitive they are. They're trying to convince you against American citizens. And if African-Americans, Hispanics, people under 35 don't wake up to the fact that they want you to be Russian serfs and their business model is to have you as Russian serfs and have an indentured servitude class even below you that makes this whole system work. If you don't rise up against that, if you continue to vote for that, then, hey, they're going to give it to you every day. So don't come back here whining to us. We've made this clear for years now of what the con and the scam is. And now, understanding we've exposed it, they're trying to twist it and sell it as a positive. Brother Dave Brett.
Yeah, well, in addition to the young man, as EJ Antoni and you and the whole team have shown over and over and over, all the new jobs are part-time, right? So it's wages. So they're talking about giving people jobs. They're really talking about wage rate jobs piecemeal. They don't mention incomes anymore, benefits. It's like those things are the thing of the past. And then over the past 4 or 5 years, all new jobs have gone to foreign-born workers. So they're just lying straight up, right? So put those two things together. All new jobs are wage rate jobs. You don't get an income. People are working 2 to 3 jobs. They're counted as, you know, that's why the jobs numbers come out so positive. From the Wall Street crowd. And then all new jobs are from foreign-born workers. So they're clearly displacing American citizens. And you're exactly right. For them to say this and for them to get away with it, we haven't even talked about the social costs of those jobs, but the middle class knows. They're taking a huge hit.
Dave, just hang with it. Dave's going to be with me this morning. We got a lot to go through, a lot of different angles of this. MTG, I'm going to get, she had the town hall, as I said last night. She's put out kind of on the Wittenberg, she's nailed her 95 thesis. I think she's going to nail it on the door of the Capitol today against Mike Johnson. She walks through a very, I think it's 7-9 points, puts him on notice. So this fight is just going to start to rev up. I want everybody, Grace and Mo, we now have huge signups for the Gladiator School next week on the 18th in Las Vegas at the Ahern Hotel. Please make sure you sign up. It's totally free. Remember, all of our content's always free. We thank you for supporting our sponsors, but all of our content is free. This seminar, an all-day seminar, will also be free at the Ahern Hotel. Get information. Most importantly, get signed up now. Totally free. And not only that, you get a free lunch on top of it. And you'll come up the learning curve and a bunch of things. And we're testing. These are all testing things we're testing right now. So make sure you're there. I'm there the day before the constitutional sheriffs and the great Mike Lindell to walk through his Supreme Court case and to walk through the machines and all that. Birchgold.com/Bandit. We don't give you personal financial advice here, but we lay out the macro case for what's going on in the world. Jamie Dimon is just done what Dave Brett said. Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan is all like, oh my gosh, I think we're heading to a kinetic third world war. And the dollar's not going to be the prime reserve currency. Go to Birchgold.com/Bandit right now. Talk to Philip Patrick, the team, and find out why. Caroline Glick on the other side. Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, if we can get up there's two things. Number one, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Brad, what was it? It was the Wittenberg Cathedral being Roman Catholic. It's not a date that were taught much in Catholic grammar school. It's the Wittenberg Cathedral, right? That's where Luther nailed the 95 Theses.
Yeah.
The 95 Theses. So Marjorie Taylor Greene has her version of the 95 Theses. It's 7 pages long. And I'm going to tell you, for those of you that didn't get a chance to watch her town hall last night, I want to give a hat tip to the folks in Georgia 14. Great. And these people are ready to march on D.C. They're furious. And Mike Johnson better wake up to this, because Mike Johnson is not an establishment Republican figure. But this thing is, the Dear Colleague letter is quite frankly brilliant. And she lays out seven theses where he's fallen short. This is going to heat up. I want Grace and Mo and Carly Bonet. By the way, Carly Bonet turns 39 years old today. Carly Bonet, it gets more beautiful with every year. Her 39th birthday over at Midnight Rider. Happy birthday, Carly, if you can get back to work now and push out Marjorie Taylor Greene's, Mo, Grace, everybody, Jane. It's extraordinary. We'll talk about it in the second hour. So Ahern Hotel next week. We had a sellout, beyond a sellout crowd, standing room only at CPAC the day before. This is actually going to be more intense, I think, because we're kind of coming up the learning curve of how to impart this information to folks, this kind of gladiator school, so I want everybody there. I've got the great Caroline Glick. She's going to come up, but I got to play a short, cold open for Caroline because the situation in Israel is quite confusing. Let's play this and bring in Caroline Glick.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a date has been set to launch a ground offensive in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Netanyahu made the announcement in a video statement yesterday, saying this is needed to ensure victory over Hamas. He did not reveal when the operation will begin. It comes just a day after Israeli Defense Forces withdrew troops from southern Gaza's largest city, further shrinking its presence in Gaza. The Biden administration has been warning Israel to not launch an offensive in Rafah, saying it will worsen the already dire humanitarian crisis. More than 1 million people have sought refuge in the city, and there is famine and disease spreading.
This is why people come to the war room. Remember the last 48 hours on Getter and here on this show. And the head of the IDF, the Times of Israel or Israel News Network, had the head of the IDF saying, oh, no, we're going to do tactical special forces. Joel was on here yesterday. Joel's actually heading to Israel, and we're trying to get Joel Wise in Israel. They're going to do it with this retreat, and they're going to do it with tactical forces like they took the hospital. I'm like, no, you can't replace ground infantry. You know, military strategy 101. You have four combat brigades of Hamas in the south. And you have two combat brigades in Judea Samaria. If the bottom line is they got to go, then they got to go. If they don't go, there's not going to be an Israel. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next day, but it's not going to be an Israel. Because now they're being surrounded by the Persians. And the Red Sea's on fire. Caroline Glick, who is, Joel's knows this cold, Yoram knows the cold. Caroline Glick, I think even when I love those two guys, are next level. Caroline, explain to us what in the hell is going on. Particularly, I don't understand the confusion with it, trying to sell this thing. We're going to do special forces. We're pulling the IDF out. We're going to do special forces. And these were senior guys on the record. And then Bibi the next day, I think, which is logical, you got to put the infantry back in there. Your thoughts, ma'am?
Well, I mean, the generals who are talking about special forces operations are talking about the areas of Gaza where we've already destroyed their conventional forces. When Hamas invaded Israel with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Palestinian Authority fighters from Fatah and thousands of Palestinian civilians from Gaza on October 7th, they actually came as an organized fighting force of division level force, and they came in and they conquered territory. And then what they did was they committed a slaughter in barbaric pre-civilizational ways. But they were an organized conventional army, and they had 24 battalions. Israel's destroyed all but the last four or five of those battalions, which are holed up in Rafah. So the large conventional aspect of this war has been won in all throughout Gaza, except in Rafah, where you have the last conventional forces of Hamas. You also have the international border with Egypt. So Israel needs to seize that border, and it needs to end the conventional force to eradicate it of Hamas. But then, you know, that just begins the counterinsurgency phase of the operation. And we've already begun it in northern Gaza, which we saw with a major operation in Shifa Hospital, where Israeli forces killed 200 Hamas terrorists and arrested another 500. So you can imagine in a hospital complex, basically every other person there was a Hamas terrorist. It wasn't a hospital. It was they had sick people that Hamas had built its headquarters around, effectively. So so the counterterror phase has already been is well underway throughout Gaza, except in Rafah. And what the Americans are trying to do by blocking Israel from operating in Rafah is to save Hamas. There's no other way of looking at it. They want to save Hamas as a military force by maintaining their final battalions in place and maintain Hamas's control over the international border.
Hang on. This is the first time I heard this. This is pretty out there. A lot of people have accused Biden of being on the other side but trying to save the Palestinian people and Hamas as maybe a political operation, but I haven't heard it put so boldly. You're saying Blinken and Sullivan and Biden and this crowd is trying to save the combat capability of the Hamas, the people that did the 7 October worst hit on Jews in the world since the Holocaust. You're saying that the Biden regime is trying to save the combat capability of a radical Islamic army that's essentially still exists. The rump of it still exists in Gaza, the Muslim Brotherhood franchisee Hamas. Is that what you're saying?
Steve, we're living in a world of euphemisms, and we're living in a world where people hide behind humanitarian issues in order to hide the substance of the policy. The substance of the policy of saying you can't have a conventional battle in Rafah is to say that Hamas's conventional forces that are there will survive, including their leadership. And that's the absolute substance of the U.S. policy. If you say that you can only do counterterror operations in an area that requires conventional operations, what you're saying is we don't want you to conduct your operation. We don't want you to complete your mission. Your mission is to destroy Hamas's army, conventional army, and then deal with the terrorists. But right now, I mean, it's a conventional army that's also a terror force. And so if you want to eradicate the regime in Gaza and you want to eradicate their conventional military capability and then go back over time and over a period of years, it's not going to take, you know, 5 minutes to go and team by team, small unit by small unit, eradicate their terrorist capabilities. That takes time, but that's lower level, that's lower intensity combat. The high intensity combat that we still have to carry out in Gaza in order to complete the initial mission of destroying Hamas as a conventional military force is in Rafah. So when the United States, when the Biden administration says, under no circumstance will we support a conventional ground operation in Rafah, the effect of that very clearly is that we don't want you to complete your mission. And again, by not taking control over the national border with Egypt, the United States' policy right now
she just frees up. Let's go ahead and reboot that. It's too important. This gets down to the hub of it. And at the same time, the Biden regime is in back of it, working with these people on the color revolution, as Joel Pollack put out. You've got two things going on right now. The regime, and look, you have to look at this in the context of this is coming after the Judeo-Christian West. They just think the Israelis are colonizers of that part of the world, just like they say. They argue. I'm going to play. Get ready for the D-Block, my crack production team. This is such a great job in the cold open. I want to play the Muslim Brotherhood guy in Dearborn at the next break about is death to America. They think Israel's the junior partner here. This is all focused on you. Remember, we had a color revolution here. This is what they tried to do in the summer of love of 2020 with the whole George Floyd situation, the burning down everything. Heck, they had to put President Trump, the Secret Service took President Trump down to the bomb shelter because they almost got over the wall at the White House. In fact, some of them did breach security. That's the color revolution then, and they're doing it on Bibi Netanyahu now. Do we have Caroline back? Caroline, tell me about this. Is understanding the combat operation, this color revolution Joel Pollack talks about, isn't Israel coming apart at the seams because you've got basically a Biden-backed color revolution to remove Bibi Netanyahu from the kind of the consolidated Council of War government?
No, I mean, that's one of the things that the Americans don't understand, that the Biden administration, that American progressives never understand, which is that the Israeli people are united around the goals of the war. And we're not going to accept anything less than victory. We can't. We saw what defeat looks like on October 7th, and we're not going to relive that ever again. And what the Americans don't understand is that the prime minister, who was democratically elected, will retain the support of the majority of the public so long as he promises to maintain the fight to victory. And what they want to do is replace Netanyahu, who is the only possible leader of Israel at this time, who stands up to the United States, with a leader like his primary rivals, Benny Gantz or Yair Lapid.
Hang on. Slow down. You say that, but correct me if I'm wrong. Was General Benny Gantz not in the White House a week or so ago and Netanyahu didn't even know about it, invited by the Biden regime and Jake Sullivan and Tony Blinken? Didn't he not show up in the White House in the West Wing and Netanyahu didn't even know about it, ma'am?
Well, I mean, the word went out before he went to Washington, but yes, nobody asked Netanyahu for his approval of it, and all cabinet ministers are supposed to get the prime minister's approval before all foreign travel. So it was absolutely an insubordinate act by Benny Gantz. And this week, Yair Lapid, the official head of the opposition, is in Washington being feted by the White House. He met with Jake Sullivan and Tony Blinken yesterday. And Netanyahu, for his part, has never been invited to the White House since he returned to office in December of 2022. So yes, we're seeing an open effort by the Americans, but the Americans themselves say that the idea of a color revolution is to separate the leader from the people and to declare, as Kamala Harris did a few weeks ago, that the Biden administration stands with the nation of Israel, but not with the government of Israel. What they don't understand about the Israeli people is that since we democratically elect the government of Israel, you can't separate the two. So long as the government of Israel does the people's will, in this case, since October 7th, that has involved one thing, which is annihilating Hamas, the public will stand with the government. And they cite all of these push polls with tiny sample sizes that are being put out by left-wing pollsters for left-wing media operations that are statistically indefensible, professionally indefensible from the perspective of the methodology of reaching their conclusions, to pretend that after what happened on October 7th, the Israeli public has somehow gone to the left, when there's been a over 20-point shift to the right since October 7th, both among leftists and among right-wingers in Israel. So the claims that they're making about Netanyahu losing public support aren't predicated on anything. And here, I think you see
Caroline, just hang on for 1 second. We'll take a short commercial break. I want to make sure this is fully developed. Short break. Caroline, go ahead. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay. Go to birchgold.com. Gold at an all-time high today, bouncing around. We don't give you personal financial advice, but the guys at Birch Gold do. Birchgold.com/Bannon. I think Caroline Glick is laying out a pretty good case of turbulence in the modern world. And note to self, take your number two pencil out. That turbulence is not going to end anytime soon. Jamie Dimon, the Great Awakening. Jamie Dimon's running for president in 28. Just, I said that, as a populist. He's saying now, oh my gosh, you know, all this stuff breaking out. I think we're on the edge of a kinetic war, third world war. Welcome to the party, Jamie. Wake up, dude. See what you see. And also go to the Ahern. Make sure you go to Grace and Mo and Karen and everybody, Carly Bonet, everybody. We got the template up. Go to worm.org and sign up for the Gladiator School. We want to see you there. We're getting close to already filling out, so we want it's free. It's a freebie. And a free lunch on top of it. How about that? Caroline Glick, I just want to make sure I understand this, because your heads are exploding in the chat right now. You're saying that Israel is in a existential fight, right, with still the combat element of a radical Islamic army whose purpose is to control Israel as the start and then eventually the Judeo-Christian West, particularly the United States of America. And in that fight, that the U.S. government, the U.S. government is actively engaged in domestic politics to try to have a governmental change or what is a coalition government right now to particularly take out the biggest warfighter, who, warts and all, has been a pretty good war leader, Bibi Netanyahu. Is that what you're saying, that they're actively doing this in a time of war, of which the fate of Israel hangs in the balance?
They're not even trying to hide it. I mean, they say it outright. President Biden has said that the prime minister is extreme. Kamala Harris said that they don't support him, that they'd like to see a different Israeli government. Biden said that. And they're inviting the heads of the opposition to the White House behind the back or without the approval and against the wishes of the prime minister in the middle of the war. You had the national intelligence estimate that came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, saying that Netanyahu was about to be toppled, that the demonstrations were going to be reignited. And then lo and behold, 3 days later, they started again. And you have people who are running the anti-government demonstrations, like one of the heads, Ami Dror, who also works for the Aspen Institute, is one of Israel's major PR people. And he said straight out that they received a four-part plan from the White House, from our friends deep in the White House, of how to overthrow the government. I wrote about it in my column in JNS last week, and you can link to it. I'll send you the link that sets it all out. So he's saying it in granular detail what the Biden administration is doing and how they're helping. And then he put out a congratulatory statement on Twitter 2 days ago saying that it's working and the Biden administration seeks to overthrow the government with a hostage deal that's going to require Israel to let murderers out of jail and end the war, and that'll collapse his government and the left will take over, exactly as the Biden administration put out. And like you were saying Jamie Dimon, when he was talking about, you know, World War III breaking out or whatever, you know, this is, you know, when Donald Trump left the White House, the Middle East was at peace. You know, and we were going towards a faster, you know, a bigger peace. And Iran was contained. They were broke because of the sanctions. And, you know, that was a completely different Middle East. And what did Biden do from day one? He came in and he set about, already in the campaign, he promised he would do it, tearing apart everything that Trump accomplished in the Middle East, everything. And one by one, Iran, Israel, the Palestinians, Syria, all of the things that Trump had done, that he had contained, that he had defeated, and they empowered all of these rogue actors, all of these enemies of the United States, and attacked Israel and weakened Israel and sought to destabilize and overthrow the Israeli government and delegitimize Israel from the very beginning. And all of this obviously empowers the worst actors in the Middle East. So everything that Trump accomplished, all they want to do is take it apart. And the war that we're seeing now is very much a product of that.
I want to make sure you talk about the actors. Is there any doubt that the people that are really against Israel, at the tip of the spear against Israel, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Hamas, the Persian militias, Hezbollah, Persian, they're all Islamic supremacists? All of them? Radical Islamic supremacists, ma'am?
No, I think the fact that you had a rally in Dearborn, Michigan, a couple of days ago that was exposed and put on American TV, where you had, it was a pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, pro-genocide of Jews rally in Dearborn, Michigan, and not the only one. This happened all the time there. And the speaker came up and started talking about the Islam that they believe in, and that the Islam that they believe in is, in fact, a jihadist, supremacist, imperialist, jihadist creed. And then he led the crowd in calling death to America, death to Israel, so that he made the duality of the goal of annihilating Israel and then annihilate the little Satan, what the Iranians refer to, as a means to destroy the great Satan, the United States of America. They're explicit in their goals. They're not, they don't try to hide it even. And here the United States keeps thinking that if it feeds Israel to the crocodile, that the crocodile won't come for America afterwards.
Caroline, hang on for a second. If you please hold over 90 seconds, I just want to finish you in the next block. We're going to move some stuff around. We're going to leave with exactly that rally. If Real America's Voice in Denver Control can please play it, let's go out with that.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
El Mauti America!
El Mauti America!
El Mauti America!
El Mauti
America!
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant death to Israel has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
El Mauti Israel!
El Mauti Israel!
El Mauti Israel!
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care. Visit JaceMedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, JaceMedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.